God is good. He's blessed us with a beautiful day outside and beautiful opportunities of worshiping Him together inside. So we're thankful to Him in every respect for such occasions that we can assemble as His children, as brothers and sisters in the family of God to praise His name and worship, and now to turn our attention to His Word that He's spoken to us and to encourage each of us to get His Word before us, get your Scriptures out. Maybe it's electronic these days, a lot of them are, or the old-fashioned kind, the page type. Whatever it is, get your Bible and join us as we study together, asking a simple question: where will you find Jesus? A lot of people are looking for Jesus. There were people there on that day, there during the tabernacle feast of the tabernacles, that were saying, the leaders there were saying, well, where is He? And they sent out people to try to find Him. Others were talking about Jesus. And so that really hasn't changed. A lot of people are still looking for Jesus. Could be that you're looking for Jesus yourself today. We want to try to help you find Him, because you see, a lot of people are looking for Jesus, but look in the wrong places. We want to try to be sure we're looking in the right place to be able to find Him. Because see, if you're not a Christian, you need to find Jesus. You need to figure out where He is, and then need to seek Him, because He can be found. And then in finding Him, to obey Him, to submit your life to His will, and in doing that, be blessed. In fact, as Jesus said, what I teach is not mine, but the Father, the one who sent me. As we read together, as Rick led us in that reading, he who speaks from himself seeks his own will, but he who seeks the glory of the one who has sent him is true. There's no unrighteousness in him. Christ is true. The Father sent him with a message of truth and with a way of redemption, as Brother Aaron reminded us at the table, a way of escape, redeemed out of the clutches of the death of sin. So if you haven't found Jesus where He can be found, we want you to do that. We want to try to help you do that today. And then respond to His Word. In faith, obey Him and be saved from your sins. I say a lot of people look for Jesus in wrong places. They try to find Him in the movies or on TV. Or they establish religious holidays and they believe they found Jesus through those holidays. Of course, there's a long, long history of church traditions that have been established by the will and the precedent of men through which people believe they found Jesus. They believe that they continue to find Him through those traditions started by people. There's a lot of people write books trying to tell us where to find Jesus and how they found Jesus and how you can find Jesus. You know, a lot of people try to find Jesus through art. Maybe it's statues or icons or paintings and some magnificent works of art over the ages. People persuaded that they find Jesus in that way. Well, is that how we find Jesus? I'm sure we haven't exhausted the possibilities. But to begin to get our minds thinking about how it is people look for Jesus, and how am I and you looking for Jesus? And more than, in addition to how we look for Jesus, but also why we look for Jesus. Of course, as we've already noted, we need to look for Him for our salvation. Jesus came looking for us. He came looking for you. To put a fine point on it, He came looking for you and me. The Son of Man came to seek and to save that which was lost. We were lost in our sin. Jesus didn't seek to find us because we were righteous, but because of our sin. And He said, come unto me, all you who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. So, if you're burdened down by sin, by doubt, by fear, by dread, then come to Jesus, and He offers rest. He said, now take my yoke upon you. It's not going to be without your own responsibilities. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me. Don't learn from these wrong places to try to find me. Learn from Jesus. He said, learn from me, for my yoke is easy and my burden is light, and you will find rest for your soul. Right, so finding the rest that Jesus offers. Rest from sin. Rest from eternal death. The assurance of eternal life in the Son. That's why we should look for Jesus. Again, we need to know where to look for Him. And often it helps us to try to focus on where to look for Jesus by also reminding ourselves where not to find Him, where not to look, or where we will not find Jesus. You know, as a young child, you remember the story about Him being in the temple and His parents going back home from the feast, and a whole day went by and they couldn't find Him among their relatives, and so they went back to Jerusalem and found Him in the temple discussing with the scribes and lawyers of that day. They were looking for Jesus and they found Him, and we'll have occasion to refer to some of those points. In fact, let's look at one right now, is that you're not going to find Jesus today in the Jewish temple keeping the law of Moses. You're not going to find Him there today. You found Him once upon a time doing that. As I said, Luke 2 and 42, they went up for the feast of the Passover. Now that was according to the custom of the feast. So they went to Jerusalem. They went to the temple to keep the law. Jesus, when He was on earth, He kept the law of Moses. In fact, that reading this morning concerning the Lord's Supper was during the keeping of the law of Moses at the Passover feast, Matthew 26:18. Jesus said, "I've longed to keep this Passover with you." He kept the law while He was on earth. Some tried to make Jesus out as a violator of the law, but He kept it in every respect. In fact, He fulfilled that law. He said, "I didn't come to invalidate the law. I came to fulfill it." He is the purpose for which the law was given, as it pointed people to Messiah. And so many passages in the New Testament validate that point. And isn't it sad? It truly is sad that many people think they find Jesus by binding the Old Testament. The Seventh-day Adventist Church teaches Sabbath observance today, the seventh day of the week, and believe that's how you find Jesus, is keeping the Sabbath day. And yet, Scripture tells us, Colossians 2 is just one illustration, that law has been nailed to the cross, taken out of the way. It contained those feasts, like the Passover, like the Tabernacles feast in John 7. Taken out of the way. He says, "Therefore, let no one judge you in food or drink, or regarding a festival or a new moon or Sabbaths, which are a shadow of things to come, but the substance is of Christ." There were some trying to bind the Sabbath on the Colossians. And the apostle, inspired by God's Spirit, said, "Don't let them do that. Those things were a shadow, the substance, the body, the essence, the reality is in Jesus Christ." That middle wall that separated Jews and Gentiles was the law itself. As God chose the nation Israel and gave them a specific law. But now that law is removed. The nation of Israel is no longer the people of God. Again, people trying to find Jesus in wrong places. But you see, His kingdom's not of this world. And the citizens of that kingdom are not upon the basis of what you are in the flesh, but of your faith. You're not going to find Jesus keeping the law of Moses in the temple of Jerusalem. That temple would, of course, be destroyed. More on that in a minute. But we're not going to find Jesus today in the religious traditions of men. In Luke 2 and 46, when Jesus was discussing with the teachers in the temple, it says, they says all who heard Him were astonished at His understanding and answers. He was listening to them and asking them questions. The teachers of the day, those who He would later, when He grew up and began His work of teaching, would say, you have nullified the commands of God because of your traditions. They were adept at at understanding what the scribes and previous rabbis had said, and they were binding those traditions. That's why they called Jesus a Sabbath breaker. Because he told a man whom he healed, arise, take up your bed and walk. And they said, no, you can't do that on the Sabbath day. Can't take your bed up and walk. That's working on the Sabbath. So the very ones he would later expose with their religious traditions were the ones here just, 20 years earlier, he was discussing as a 12-year-old, let's say roughly 20 years, and his answers were with wisdom and understanding. You're not going to find him in the religious traditions. What do you mean, Joe? Well, I mean this. You're not going to find him in a manger during a Christmas religious service, because a religious observance of the birth of Jesus is not in the Scriptures. Men started that, not God. You're not going to find him there unless you believe you have authority to start that festival. You know, our study this morning was in Mark's account of heaven or man. Where do you get your authority? Well, the authority for the religious observance of the birth of Jesus didn't come in Scripture. We have the historical accounts. Praise God, Jesus came to earth. But that historical account doesn't authorize a religious service. Men's traditions did that. An Easter sunrise service? Again, Jesus arose on the first day of the week. And after the sun had risen, the women went to the tomb and found it empty. But that doesn't sanction establishing a religious tradition of Easter sunrise services where we find Jesus. We don't find Jesus there. He didn't approve that. He said, well, boy, that sure is nitpicking. Wow, you mean you're just sweeping away all of that? No, I'm not doing that. It's a simple question. Where do you get your authority? Simple question is that true worship? Jesus said, the time is coming and now is, that neither in this mountain nor in Jerusalem shall you worship the Father. God is Spirit. God is Spirit, and those who worship Him must worship in spirit and truth. Not should, could, but must worship Him in spirit and truth. Now, when we worship by the traditions of men and not in truth revealed by God, then does Jesus approve it? Not according to John 4:24. Jesus said, in vain do they worship me, teaching as their commandments the doctrines of men. They teach as a commandment things that are no more than their doctrines, their teachings. Not of thus saith the Lord. We're not going to find Jesus in the religious traditions established and propagated and perpetuated by humans. Now, we're going to find it in truth. And so to be able to worship Him in spirit according to that truth. You know, we're not going to find Jesus today among relatives and friends. Love them as we do, they are not the source of truth and salvation. Remember, Joseph and Mary looked for Jesus among the relatives, but couldn't find Him on that journey back from Jerusalem. Well, we love our family, but they're not the source of truth. They're not the source of salvation. Jesus said, if any man loves father or mother more than me, he's not worthy of me. He that loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he who does not take up his cross and follow after me is not worthy of me. He says we got to lose our life to find it. So that may be your family's following Jesus. So you're going to find an influence and an example about Jesus. You're going to find teaching about Jesus. But they're not going to be the source of your salvation. They're not going to be the basis of the truth and what you believe. Please, we don't believe something because our parents believed it. We believe it because God says it. We may be influenced by their teaching, by their
what they believe? No doubt. You see the distinction? I can be taught something. It could be true or it could be wrong. How am I going to know the difference if I just do it because my parents say do it? Religiously. Talking religiously. I'm talking about, thus saith the Lord. Because parents, good intentioned, often lead their children astray religiously. So we have to go to Scripture. We have to go to Jesus. That is the cost of discipleship. The cost of discipleship is Christ before family. Love them as we do. Jesus said, whoever comes to me and does not hate his own father and mother, that is love less. That is put in a secondary position. You can't be my disciple. It's very clear. We've got to renounce all that we have, in fact. Luke 14:33. Renounce all that you have. You cannot be my disciple. That's a tall order. It really is. A daily exercise in maintaining a priority of seeking first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Not ourselves or those that we hold most dear in the flesh. We will not find Jesus among those, by the way, who are not following Him in truth. If family's not following Him in truth, then we're not going to find Jesus there. However much we love our family. Just remember where and where we will not find Jesus. Where are we going to find Him? Well, we're not going to find Jesus on the throne in Jerusalem. You know, they went back to Jerusalem and His parents found Him there. But you know, a lot of people go to Jerusalem and say, well, one day Jesus is going to be on a throne in Jerusalem. Now let's see if that's true. There's a lot of different ways to answer that, but just think of one way to answer that with me. It comes from a prophecy in the Old Testament that says in Zechariah 6, verses 12 and 13, it speaks of the branch. He's speaking of Messiah. It says that He shall build the temple of the Lord, and He shall bear the glory, and He shall sit and rule on His throne. So He shall be a priest on His throne, and the council of peace shall be between them both. So unmistakably, the prophecy is of the branch of Messiah that in the building of the temple of the Lord, whatever temple that is, whatever abiding place of God with His people that refers to, it would be at a time when He would sit on His throne and be a priest on His throne. Messiah would be a priest and a king simultaneously. Now, the New Testament teaches us in Hebrews 8 and in verse 4, this is not rocket science, this is pretty simple. Hebrews 8 and verse 4, if He, that is if Jesus, were on earth, He would not be a priest, seeing there are priests who offer gifts according to the law. So the prophecy is that when He builds the temple of the Lord, He'd be a priest on His throne. At the same time, He'd be a where's that priesthood going to be? Where's that temple going to be? What's that temple about? Well, it can't be on earth because if it's on earth, Jesus can't be a priest on His throne. He's not going to be a priest on His throne on earth. Hebrews 8 and verse 4. You say, wait a minute. How can that be? Well, here's how it can be. Jesus was born to be a king. John 18:37, Jesus told Pilate, to this end I was born. To this end I came into the world. He says, you say truth when you say I'm a king. But my kingdom, He said, was not of this world. His kingdom is the spiritual kingdom. The temple of our Lord God is not a structure to be built in Jerusalem. It's the church of our Lord Jesus Christ. Ephesians 2:19-22. God's abiding place with His people. And Christians are living stones built up a spiritual house. 1 Peter 2:5-6. You see, His kingdom exists today. And by the way, Jesus is at the right hand of God, exalted. He is king today and He is priest today. You see, a lot of people want to find Jesus in the premillennial doctrine that says Jesus is going to be on the throne in Jerusalem for 1,000 years. That doctrine contradicts what Scripture says in very plain and clear language. If He were on earth, He would not be a priest
But he must be a priest and king at the same time.
Therefore, his reign and his priesthood is not on the earth, but in heaven, even as Scripture says. He's exalted at the right hand of God, Acts 2:33.
And he is our high priest at the right hand of the throne of the majesty, Hebrews 8 and verse 1. And so, Revelation 1 and 9, as we have on the chart, refers to this reality. It says, I, John, both your brother and companion in the tribulation and kingdom and patience of our Lord Jesus Christ. John was in the kingdom. He was writing to people who were in the kingdom. They were companions, fellowship in the kingdom. You're not going to find Jesus on a throne in Jerusalem some future time for 1,000 years. You're not going to find Jesus in the halls of worldly wisdom either. He answered those teachers in the temple that day at 12 years old with wisdom and understanding. His wisdom is far greater than Solomon's. A greater than Solomon was among them in Luke 11:31, Jesus said. He's the one we go to for wisdom. You see, the world's wisdom is not going to bring you to God. I don't care how many degrees man gives you, how many theological seminaries you attend. They wondered, how could this man know this doctor? He's uneducated. He doesn't have any letters. John 7. Well, because he spoke the will of the Father from heaven. The world's wisdom does not know God. The world's wisdom is not going to bring you to God. You're not going to find Him there. 1 Corinthians 1, 18 through 25, Paul said it's going to be the preaching of the gospel of Jesus Christ that does that. The message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to those who are being saved, it's the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise and bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. That's from Isaiah 29. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer or debater of this age? Greeks loved to debate. They loved Acts 17. They loved to proposition and debate. He says, that's not going to get you to God. It says that's foolishness before God. It pleased God through the foolishness of the message preached to save those who believe. The world sees it as foolishness, but it's the Word and the power of God. It's the wisdom of God and the power of God. Don't be deceived by the philosophies of men. You're not going to find Jesus there. So where will you find Him? Where will we find Jesus? Well, as mentioned already, we're going to find Him in His temple, which is His church. They found Jesus in the temple when He was 12 years old, didn't they? But you see, in Matthew 23:37, Jesus said, "Your house is left to you desolate." And as He walked through, and they were showing Jesus all the magnificent structure of that temple, He told them there in Matthew 24:1-2, do you see all these things? Assuredly I say to you, not one stone will be left here upon another that shall not be thrown down. That temple was destroyed in God's righteous, authoritative judgment against their rejection, because of their rejection of Messiah. And He built His temple. He built the house of God, His church. That's where we're going to find Jesus. We're going to find Him in His church. Jesus said, I'll build my church. We're not going to find Him in the churches that men build, but in the one He built. Ephesians 2, because He's the chief cornerstone of this temple. Ephesians 2:19. Therefore, you're no longer strangers and foreigners. He's talking to the Gentiles, who had been separated and without the law and not the people of God. But now He says through the gospel in Jesus, you're not a stranger any longer or a foreigner. You're fellow citizens of the saints and members of the household of God. Having been built on the foundation of the apostles and prophets, Jesus Christ Himself being the chief cornerstone, in whom the whole building fitted together grows into a holy temple in the Lord. In whom you also are being built together as a dwelling place of God in the Spirit. The church is His temple, and we are priests in that temple. We serve God, a holy priesthood. Brethren, the question then becomes, will Jesus be found among us? See, He walks among the churches, doesn't He, in Revelation 1. Will we honor Him as the chief cornerstone? Will we serve Him
and God through His high priesthood? We'll be faithful to Him. We're going to find Him in His church. Not any other church, but His. We're going to find Him, as mentioned before, exalted at the right hand of God. Acts 2 and verse 33. And look what the Scripture describes that as. Just briefly, we won't spend much time with any of these, but He's the head of His body, the church. That's at the right hand of God, Ephesians 1. He's the prophet we're to listen to in everything that He says. Acts 3, 23, or 22 and 23. And if we don't, we'll be destroyed. He's the high priest. We already referred to that, Hebrews 8, 1 and 2. That's at the right hand of God, on the throne of David, on the throne of God, on His throne. They're synonymous. Of the Messiah's rule over God's people and who has authority over the whole earth. Rule in the midst of your enemies. Psalm 110, 1 and 2, he says, "The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand till I make your enemies a footstool of your feet." That's where he is today. The right hand of God exalted as priest, prophet, and king, and savior of the body, his church. Church important? Absolutely. He saves his body, which is his church. If I'm not in his church, then I'm not saved. The churches of men are not Jesus' church. When they don't follow his word, when they follow their traditions, if we establish our traditions and demand them to be faithful to God, we're just as lost as the other. We're going to find Jesus at God's right hand, serving as high priest, ruling the nations, head of his church, saving those who come to him in faith and obey his will, his blood washing their sins away, added by him to his church, Acts 2:47. So where are we going to find Jesus? We'll find him in the Scriptures. Even as on that day when he was 12 years old, he was reasoning and discussing Scripture, we're going to find Jesus in the Scriptures. He said, "Come and learn from me," didn't he? When we hear the gospel, we learn Christ, Ephesians 4, 20 and 21. When we preach the Scriptures, we're not preaching a creed. See, we're not preaching a human tradition. We're doing our very best to let God speak, let His testimony proclaim Jesus is the Christ. And through Him we have eternal life. That's why it's been written. So that we can believe, we can serve Him in faith, forgiven of our sins, with the hope of eternal life. But that demands willing hearts on our part. We've got to hear and believe in order to obey Him and be saved. The Bereans were noble people because they had good hearts, open hearts. They received the Word of God with readiness of mind. But they examined the Scriptures to see if it was so. Therefore, many of them believed. You see, it's not a matter of just saying, "Oh, well, what you're saying is true." But it's then obeying what's true. Not because we say it or anyone else said it, but because the Bible says it. Because God in His Son is saying it. That's where we're going to find Jesus. That's where you'll find Him today. Jesus said, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. And no one comes to the Father but by Me." That's where you'll find Jesus. And so you're going to find Jesus doing His Father's business, aren't you? His parents were anxious. They said, "Well, don't you know we looked for you anxiously?" He said, "Don't you know I must be about My Father's business?" He came. He said, "I always do those things that please the Father." John 8, 29. He said, "My work is to do the work of Him who sent Me." We must work the work of Him who sent Me while it is day. The night comes when no one can work. John 9, verse 4. We need to, like Jesus, do the Father's work. We're going to find Jesus by doing God's business. When we do God's business in God's way, when we live a love for God and a love for one another, we'll find Jesus because that's where He is. That's what He did. That's what He does. And what He teaches us to do. So you're going to find Jesus by a faith that is humble and sincere and earnestly looking for Him.
His parents were, they said, "We've looked for you anxiously, we've intensely."
And even with a tint of pain and sorrow, of uncertainty. Well, the Bible says
Christ is in the heart of the Christian through faith. Christ dwells in your heart through faith. That implies a faith that trusts His Word and follows His will. If you want to find Jesus, then have the faith to do what He says. Have the humility to put away sin, to repent, and have the earnest desire to recognize who He is, confess Him, and be baptized into Christ to be saved by Him through His blood. Look for Jesus in the right places, in His Word, in His church, at the right hand of God, doing the will of the Father. You see, Jesus said, "Ask and it shall be given. You seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened to you." You can find Jesus. He's not far from any one of us. He's been fully revealed. And His blessings are fully available if we will believe and obey. He surely will bless us with salvation. That begins by becoming a Christian and it continues as we're God's people to trust His Word and walk in His way. If we can help you do either of those, we encourage a response to the gospel now to become a Christian in faith, to repent, to confess your faith that Jesus is the Son of God and be baptized into Him for the remission of your sins. Or as God's people, as a child of God, if you've strayed from Him, come back to Him. If we confess our sin, He's faithful and just to forgive our sins. Praise God that He'll forgive us, cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We can help you accomplish that through the gospel of Jesus. Won't you come while we stand and sing?